This is Coach Viking Vaughn, and you're listening to the Function versus Fiction podcast.
You're listening to the Function versus Fiction podcast, presented by Fortress Combat Arts, Bozeman, Montana.
Hello, hello, hello. Thanks again, everyone, for tuning in to this episode of the Function versus Fiction podcast. We really appreciate it. Still on the line with me, Mr. Ian, the Viking Vaughn from Viking Valhalla Training Center. Yes. So, Johnny, you on the line with me. Where are you, buddy?
Yes, I am here. Where's my horn?
Beautiful.
Do I get a horn?
I'll give you a bike horn. Well, I don't think we have that queued up on the cards, but maybe we'll put that in post.
Beautiful.
So where we left off, we talked a little bit about the unorthodox training methods versus what's going on out there, a little bit about Mr. Ian Vaughn's training, why he got into training. But I want to hit this segment right here. We're talking about the context of why people train. Kind of goes back to core values. Very much with the combatives world, or why is it that you're training in self-defense, why you're training for sport and whatever else. But I want to get into the nitty-gritty of why people think that they want to get fit. I know a couple of people that will say, well, summer's only 4 months away. I want to get fit for that. I'm like, should you be fit for the whole year? I don't get that. Or what we were talking about off camera, what we were talking about, people that looked great, but they had nothing for backs. They had lower back issues. They had everything that was wrong with them. So, Ian, you know, can you speak a little bit about what it is, why do people train, and maybe they have the wrong goals in mind, and then after coming to you, they realize, oh, this is why I need to train.
Yeah, I mean, everyone, you know, always has that wrong idea about fitness. You know, we're not always perfect, but what I'm noticing, you know, in our society, especially in Western culture, everyone's just, you know, romanticizing, you know, being Spartan or being a Marvel superhero. And like,
yeah.
Like, okay. Like you can be inspired and everything. That's great. But like, you're not going to be that overnight. If you're sitting on a couch for like 6 to 8 hours a day, you know, you got to earn your prerequisites. You know, a big thing quote that I like from Dr. Mark Chang, he's a physical therapist. He views movement like money. You know, if you have more, you know, of a bigger checking account, the better prerequisites you have. But if you just want to put everything on credit, you're going to pay for it sooner or later. And that's what people are doing. They're just running their bodies on credit. And that's why they get those bad low back injuries over time. So it's simple movements like doing crawling and kneeling positions that help get your legs stronger and your glutes stronger for a better low back. And, you know, people are just, mainly guys, you know, always wanting to do, you know, isolated training, bicep and curl. And, you know, that's why they always ask, you know, your bench press and never how much you squat.
Okay. Do you lift, bro? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I know for me in particular, what I mentioned this on a previous episode was what really did it for me and made me fit or want to be fit or want to be in somewhat of shape year round was the fact that if I'm teaching, I need to be able to take a bump. I need to be able to fight back. I need to be able to withstand somebody's mess up when they're actually not adhering to what I told them, or they don't know their own strength and they hit me too hard. I need to be able to take that, you know?
Yep.
So that changed the ballgame for me, and that actually helped me get in shape and want to be in shape year round. So with that, I mean, the context was something that really just kind of changed it. Now, when it's Thanksgiving time, when it's holiday time, nothing changed for me. It's like, oh, I'm still going to work out 3, 4, 5 times a week. Maybe I might tone it back down. Yeah, my diet might be a little bit wrong, but the fact is I didn't stop completely. And that really assisted staying on the entire health kick, right? It became part of my entire lifestyle, not something temporary because I was training for one thing and then the rest of the year I was going to do whatever the heck I wanted. Or going back to what we're talking about, cramming. You can cram for a test, but you can't cram for a Spartan race.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
Yeah. Sorry. Like, I just want to like piggyback, like just the holidays really do show where your commitment level is at. You know, if, you know, most people I deal with, you know, between the end of November and December, you know, they still stay consistent with me. That's what makes my, you know, my students better than, you know, the average person who is training with a personal trainer at a corporate gym at January 1st. You know, they waited for a date to define their goals, which is the, I'm sorry, the dumbest thing you could do. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have goals, do it now. Why let a clock define it? So just get to work. And, you know, that's another thing. I don't get why people always act like they're so crammed and busy, because the last time I checked, Christmas is on the 25th, like every year.
You know when it's coming, right?
Yeah. You know, it's coming. Why are like, I find it funny. The only time I work out at a corporate gym is in December, because no one's there. It's really, I'll go there because I'm like, yay, everything's free. I can work on the Stairmaster a little bit more without them being all hogged and sweaty from all these, you know, unethical, you know, gym.
Uncouth slobs. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but as soon as January 1st hits, I don't even go near a corporate gym because I know it's going to be that bad. I just stay at my gym and just work out there.
Yeah. Isn't it annoying how you hear the complaining and you know it's coming and they still do it anyway. And it's, yeah, I got to get back into it. And I've had a couple of people tell me, it's like, yeah, oh, I know how to get back in shape. Well, why don't you? Oh yeah, I used to run marathons. I mean, you're not going to be able to run marathons the way that you did in your 20s, now in your 30s.
Yeah.
And that's when the strength and functional, we'll call it functional, just came up with a new word. But John, what do you got for me, buddy?
I'm actually just sitting here kind of thinking about the correlation with this corporate gym stuff. What does that look like in the tactical world? What does that look like in the combatives, martial arts training? Thinking about what the separations are there. We've already got like a lot of correlations, and just thinking about all the people that have come to me and be like, oh yeah, you know what? I went to so-and-so, like I went to Front Sight out in Nevada, or I went to, Gun Sight down in Arizona. I paid $1,000+ to, you know, do this for 2-3 days. And I'm like, holy stinking cheesecake. You paid a freaking $1,000. Okay. Look, you know, $150, let's spend 2 hours. And we get done and they're like, oh my gosh, just in 2 hours, I learned so much more than I just did in an entire 2 days, 3 days,
in that
entire week.
Yep.
And I'm like, okay, yeah, there it is. You know, are you getting the McDonald's, or are you getting something better? Are you getting that ribeye?
Ribeye. Well, but I'm sure the correlation is exactly the same on the Function versus Fiction podcast. There's correlation across multiple platforms. I mean, Ian, I mean, you see, we just talked about it. It's the same kind of deal, right? With corporate gyms and getting the McDonald's versus the ribeye, right?
Yep, exactly. You know, a great way of a big thing I've learned is environmental mobility plays a big part in how we, you know, how we move. I got that from also Dr. Mark Chang. You know, there's local mobility, there's, you know, distal mobility, and no one ever talks about environmental mobility and how your body feels threatened.
Oh, I've never heard that. Yeah, I've never heard that.
You're not going to move as well. If you feel threatened, you're not going to move. That's like when I teach someone a get up, kettlebell get up, where it starts from the ground and then you stand.
Yeah.
Kettlebell. I start them from the standing position and reverse it, because a person that doesn't know what they're doing is not going to feel comfortable being on the ground. If I tell them, hey, we're going to do this movement on the ground, they're going to feel threatened. So they're not going to move as well. That same thing
happens,
you know, and even tactical training, you know, with military, you know, and that's what makes them so in tune. That's why they're put in those, you know, obstacle-like situations, that they're going to be in that shit storm, you know?
And, right.
And that's the same thing I was even taught in the fire academy. Like, our fire captains would just throw these like crazy situations at us that we didn't know how to handle. And then we regrouped and like, this is what you should do next time. So that's the big thing. What I want to connect with, you know, corporate gyms and then, you know, real training is, you know, like if you go inside a corporate gym, what many people don't notice is, look how many machines make you sit.
Right. Yeah. You mentioned that. That's exactly right. And, or the running a stinking hamster wheel, yeah. Right? That's what I call them.
Yeah. And being from Southern California, Palmdale is a commuter city for people to go to LA for cheaper housing, you know, and,
yep.
You know, the typical person out here drives 3 to 4 hours, and the average American already sits 8 to 9 hours a day. So I can't imagine how much, you know, more Southern California people sit more in traffic. Like, so they get almost 10 to 12, and then you add that on with a gym sitting more. So that's environmental big time. So they're thinking sitting is working out as well. And that's just, no, you got to be standing. So that's the biggest thing when I train my clients, we're always standing. If we're not standing, we're doing a tough crawling exercise or ground exercise that's going to make them stand up faster. So
right, and all that sitting, you tell me what it does for your lower back. It can't be anything that's healthy getting in and out of that car, you know. I know police officers, a couple guys I know that's the whole point, because once you get to a certain point and being a field officer, a lot of the stuff is getting in the car, getting out of the car, and with all that reindeer gear that they tell me, you sound like a reindeer jingling around when you run all over the place, having the Sam Brown belt, another 30 pounds. Yeah, and you know, sometimes it comes down to just running a stinking plank. Plank drill, you know, 60 seconds a day. Just get that back going. So that'll be for enough for this segment. We'll hit the break right now. We'll catch you guys on the flip side. This is the Function versus Fiction podcast.
KIPS, the Kinesiology Institute for Performance Specialists, designs online and live education for a variety of fitness professionals. If you're an aspiring wellness professional, strength coach, or athletic trainer, then you'll want to keep listening. Attend a live KIPS workshop. Check out kipsonline.org and click on events to see their upcoming live personal trainer workshops. Their certifications and continuing education are approved for credits by other industry agencies. Fortress and KIPS would like to offer you 15% off any purchase. Type in function15 at checkout to save on any online or live certification or continuing education course. Visit KIPSonline.org to start. Fortress, in association with KIPS Online, thanks you for listening to this episode of the Function versus Fiction podcast. Back to the show.
That's right, we're back. Thanks again for tuning into the Function versus Fiction podcast. So before the break, we were talking a little bit about fighting from the ground, working out from the ground. John, sounds awfully familiar with some of that combative stuff, right?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting you mentioned that they're starting their Turkish get-ups and their kettlebell get-ups and that type of workout from the standing position because the people feel less threatened. And I thought, hey, wow. Yeah, that's why we talk about jujitsu. That's why we talk about training, being able to defend yourself from the ground to the gun.
Right, multiple levels.
Yeah, and you have these people that they want to start all their fighting from the stand-up position. And in combatives, military aspect, we actually go in reverse. We start a lot of the training from the ground concept. And I'm definitely seeing from that point of view, as far as the workout, people aren't feeling as comfortable. They don't want to commit to the movement from a position that they're unfamiliar with. And we go back to that all the time. And people get surprised with our classes at how familiar and how comfortable they feel doing certain training exercises where they're like, oh, well, you know, we thought we weren't going to be able to do that to like a level 3 type class. I'm like, what do you mean? Like shooting from kneeling, shooting from sitting, shooting from laying down. You know, Vaughn mentioned it.
Right.
These guys are sitting down all the time, driving back and forth from work. A lot of these people are sitting in front of a computer. They're, you know, doing whatever job they're doing. People are sitting, watching TV. And what, you can't feel comfortable shooting a gun laying down? Are you kidding me? You lay down 8 hours a night. You lay down eating your freaking cheese doodles while you're watching freaking Netflix. How is that not already comfortable? How is that? We're not teaching you to do anything. Just lay there like a freaking slug. Now grab the gun and do what you got to do with it. Work.
Okay, boss.
And it's funny that like these people, they create these paradigms in their mind that like, oh, this is an unfamiliar place. And
oh man, yeah.
That how being vertical and being horizontal affects the mind and affects the person emotively. Their emotional standpoint to be able to perform.
Oh man. And the Casey fighting method, we trained John, when I kind of broke that down for you a little bit, I knew a couple of guys that were trying to compartmentalize fighting from your back to seated, to kneeling, to standing. And I'm like, no, it's all one. It's all fighting. It's all movement. And then when I went and trained with you a couple of times doing some AR work, I knew exactly where you were going. You're like, all right, we're laying down in the deer shit. Okay. Now we're kneeling on the deer shit. Now we're standing on the deer shit. How hard was that?
Just a lot of go with it. Where's the fight gonna go?
That was a lot of deer shit, though. Anyway, Ian, what do you got?
Yeah, I completely agree that technology is making, we're almost devolving as a species. If you really think about it, you know,
absolutely.
Just with all the technology coming out, everything that makes you want to sit more. Literally a person can just live off their phone because we literally have people bringing food to us. That's pretty much what
Zoomers are air-droning you food. Yeah, liquefied food in a freaking straw. You're getting fed from your air drone.
Yeah,
from Amazon.
I thought that one Disney movie or Pixar movie, WALL-E, made a very strong prediction with how people are going to be in the future, that we're going to pollute this planet so bad that we're going to leave it and then spoon-fed everyone with floating recliners that can take you anywhere.
Oh man,
that's kind of what is going to happen with how bad people are moving and just how they value, daily life. And the average person, from what I found out, checks their phone over 200 times per day.
John's on his phone right now. But that doesn't surprise me at all. And the fact is, how hard is it to dial it back a couple of minutes and spend that working out? Like Ian, my question earlier for you was the same thing with how hard or how long. It doesn't take that long to get a functional workout in the middle of the day, right? Be a couple of minutes, couple seconds, just do something, right?
Yeah, you should have your warm-up should be simple, 5-10 minutes. You don't need to be rolling on a foam roller for 30 minutes. I hate when I see that crap. But yeah, just I like simple workouts. I'll pick a good just 2 or 3 movements at the minimum and do that for 30 to 45 minutes. So
Simple
program, simple and sinister.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's either a 1 or 2 arm swing, kettlebell swing, and then a kettlebell get up. And those cover a good amount of bases for your movement patterns that you need for every day. And people don't think it doesn't really sound that hard, but have you tried it? Because at the end of that program, I did it for 3 months. I was barely swinging a 32 kilo bell with one arm, and I was swinging a 48 kilo bell, which is 106 pounds, no problem after that. And then I was doing a get up at 124 pounds after that as well. So my strength got better because I just stayed consistent and worked on the doing more with less, pretty much.
Beautiful. Yeah, I love that. Doing more with less. Hey, that makes it functional. Working smarter, not harder. Wonderful. So, now this is my favorite part. Mr. Ian, the Viking Bond, please, story time. You mentioned a couple stories, one in particular when you were working for a couple of different corporate gyms. Should they remain nameless? It's entirely up to you. But when you got... We got written up for one. Remember when we talked about during pre-show?
Yes. My first corporate gym I was at, they kind of just condemned me as this meathead trainer when I was actually learning a lot of stuff. So they only gave me just stuck up male clients. And I was like, I can train women, right? And it was just like they were only giving women to women trainers. So it was becoming a really weird environment. Based on who could do what. And so I got written up for not doing enough sessions. And it was like, okay, fine. And then I moved on and went to another gym. And then I was doing really good there. And then I got written up for doing too many sessions. I serviced over 200 sessions in 1 month, and not one person complained. And everyone said they loved me. And it got so bad, the district manager came from down below to meet me in person saying, if you get one more hour over overtime, you're fired. I'm like, wait, you're going to fire me for my job?
Right.
It's like, yeah. And that I quit, the next week, because I realized it was an epiphany moment in my career that I was like, okay, I got written up for doing not enough sessions. And I got written up for doing too many sessions.
Damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Exactly. And it was just like, I need to start this on my own. And it's a big jump, I think, for any corporate trainer. I think it's great for beginners who are just, if you really don't know if you want to do this, I'd say stay at a corporate gym. But if you really want to go to that next level, you got to drop that BS, not working, having people tell you what to do, because it limits your creativity. Corporate gyms would never allow me to bring in monster kettlebells and steel maces and clubs and real functional tools, I believe, that do a lot, because I also got in trouble for not putting those people on those sitting machines we were talking about. It's like, why aren't you using those machines? We have them there for a reason. They're supposed to know how to use them. I'm like, well, I don't think they should know how to use them. They're a piece of crap.
Right.
Honest with them. And I got a saying, if you lose anything over being honest, it was never worth having in the first place. So
I like that.
That's how I view corporate gyms. It's just not worth it. So I think if you're wanting to be a fitness coach, start your own thing and just get your own small area together. It doesn't take that much. You know, it took me about a good 3-4 years to get where I'm at on an independent level, you know, to really learn from other people on the trade of it.
And that's what kind of sparked out the Viking Valhalla Training Center. And now you ended up firing your employers, and you ended up, now you're in a spot where you can actually fire your students should you want to. I love that. Really quick, that reminds me of a particular story, a buddy of mine that he actually fired his students. He was he had a small group trying to build a self-defense gym, very much like how you were trying to build your self-defense, your functional training center. And he's like, hey, guess what? I had to fire all my students. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, yeah, I got one guy was trying to actually circumvent me, get a certification, which I didn't have a problem with it, but he was lying about it, basically stealing all my material so that he could take it to them and present it as his. And I'm like, oh, wow, that actually happens? Like, yeah, yeah. So I fired him. I'm like, I never heard of anybody saying, yeah, I fired my students. John, don't you wish you could fire some of your students? Or I'm pretty sure they wish they could fire you, no?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh my gosh, I need to get a screenshot. He's got the headset on all crooked and ridiculous. Like, yeah, what are you talking about?
It's a labor of love.
Both ends. Love to hate. No? No? Okay. Anyway. So I think that'll do it for us here on the Function versus Fiction podcast. John, you got anything else before you want to send us off?
Nah, man, I think that was a good go. Thanks, Vaughn.
Ian, thank you very much for being on the Function versus Fiction podcast. We really appreciate it. We really appreciate all you guys listening out there. Catch you guys on the next one. Peace.
You just heard the Function versus Fiction podcast, presented by Fortress Combat Arts. Be sure to visit us at fortresscombat.com and check us out on Facebook. We'll catch you on the next one. The opinions expressed on this show are that of the hosts and the hosts only. We hope no egos were harmed in the process. Any mention of a brand, system, or label is not necessarily an endorsement by the hosts. That's all I got.